in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Spirit, ask your prayerful attention to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, and to verse 7. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. The apostle, in writing to his son Timothy, is speaking of that grace that both he had and also been conferred upon Timothy. And the first sense of this is within the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Some make it as strictly for the ministers of the gospel, but I rather feel it also in much instruction of every believer. All believers are the Lord's servants, really. They serve him day and night in this lower world and in heaven above. Yes, every believer will see his face, worship him, spirit and truth, and love him completely. Here we do love him with a new heart completely, but we've got a worldly heart too, haven't we? Got a wandering mind. Oh, we wish we could love only God and holiness, but we love other things too. Some loves are lawful, but they become unlawful if they indeed push away spiritual exercise. We're poor sinners, actually, in need of more grace. And much more grace. So what a mercy it is if you and I know something of what the apostle here declares to Timothy, both referring to himself and to son Timothy as well. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. When we have eternal life given to us, we are being made by the Spirit's sanctifying grace, believers in the Lord Jesus. Believers. All people that are saved are believers. Believers by the sweet teaching of God, the Holy Ghost, and by the love of Christ which they receive from God. Jesus, my friends, blesses and loves his people. We receive love in our heart from God, the love of Christ. The love of God is the love of Christ to the earth. My friend, they're not the trinity of persons. They have three sorts of loves. It's one love of God, the holy workings and of the Trinity of Persons is one work. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, indeed, there's such a unity in working, such a beautiful truth. We do not worship three separate deities. And three separate deities, as it were, don't do one thing, another does another. One Holy Person does another. No, it's God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's his work. And so the apostle says to Timothy, about himself and Timothy, but I do believe it covers all believers in varying measures of the gift of grace. Grace is given to us, eternal life is given to us in measure, and that will never depart. And there will be a certain growing in it. But the gifts are given in measure, are they not, friends? But we shall all be complete in him at one, later when we go into glory and see him full of grace. Now, notice firstly then, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. This does not mean, this word does not mean in this particular aspect of it, like the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. It means a slavish fear, bondage. God is never the author of bondage. I know we are brought to tremble sometimes at the majesty of God. We're brought to stand in awe of God, to reverence him. And my friends, that is the spirit of love. It's the power of God working in us. It's his love toward us to make us stand in awe and begin to view and wonder. I know the saints are convinced of their sinnership, and many inexperienced have had to cry out in almost feeling so lost and dreadful. But it's the lovely work of grace to bring them to peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yes, to truly know and taste the love of Jesus to their souls in doing everything for them. Then they, you see, indeed, they have not the spirit of fear in the slavish sense, but they have, my dear friends, that power. So he says here, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, slavishness. Reverence, yes. Reverence with love. Holy admiration. A sense of the greatness and majesty of God, and yet we wonder and rejoice in that holy divine being should be pleased to visit people here below. Rebels like ourselves, sinners like ourselves. Look at what we were like before we were called by grace. Rotten to the core, dreadful. But my friends, pardon comes by the opening of that fountain for sin and uncleanness. It's the love of God given to poor sinners here, you know. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That is the sweet working of the Spirit of truth that overcomes us, takes possession of us, and God begins to have dominion over us. You might say, well, surely he's got dominion over all men. Yes, he has. Even the Prime Minister and all that's going on, and not to get too political, but through all the evil in the world at the moment, they're under God's dominion, but the sense of dominion, he doesn't reign in love over them. He forbears their manners for a while and will bring them to judgment. My friends, this dominion is a beautiful, lovely, loving dominion unto eternal glory. He reigns in our hearts, in our lives. And you want him, believer, to reign more, don't you? These beautiful truths are learned line upon line, a little there, a little. My friends, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I know that refers to the law, and Jews learned it like that. But you know, it's not so much legal precept upon precept, but we begin to value and look into these things in the scriptures and read into these things and plead for the Lord's blessing and smile. If Jesus sets us free, we're set free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Jews queried that. Could they have been in bondage, they said? Because they are sons of Abraham. My friends, they had no sense of their need. Now, we at the new birth are made to realize our great need of God's wonderful grace and love. And we're given the spirit of fear to pray for it. The fear of the Lord in that beautiful way. Yes, that sweet power of grace comes upon us. We mustn't confuse the sense here. Of course, we would have more of the fear of the Lord, begin of wisdom. But the fear, the sense of the fear here is bondage. Oh, a sense of guilt and dread of God. Yes, that blessed Holy Majesty receives poor sinners as they are. Jesus is not changing his deity or his dignity. Now he's gone to heaven. He was ever full of holy deity. He was deity. Yes, ministering wonderfully joined with sacred and pure humanity. But he dwelt with sinners. He forgave sinners. He healed sinners. He sat with sinners. He communed with sinners. There'd be a sin-hating God to redeem them and save them. And that is the sense here, you see. He's given us eternal life with sweet power to indeed overcome us in his sweet grace and overcome us in our lives and to carry us along safely in this world. He's the real friend and he's a real king. Of course, we go and see King Charles III, we have to say certain things and step a certain way and bow and all these things. Well, of course, you bow before the Lord, but you may tell him all your secrets. You reverence God. You begin to love God and delight in God. For he's God with us. Think of his bearing the ignorant behaviour of poor Peter and the disciples. When they seem to improve. Curse thou not that we perish when they're in the midst of the sea. Very rude, wasn't it? And not respectful. Not reverent either. Yet they were believers under trial and they said sometimes things they should not have done. Oh, Jacob said, all these things are against me. Why will I go with sorrow to the grave? He accused his children, bring him with sorrow to the grave. We can go on and see the faults of God's people, but remember this, friends. God is love and working all things for our good. And we know that all things work together for the good, for our good unto them that are according to his purpose, Romans 8. And therefore, the worries, the griefs, the afflictions, the trials, the sorrows, the temptations that we may know here are working for our good. And my friends, it's sweet to be able by precious faith to humble ourselves in our trials and say, Lord, thy will be done. I'm only a poor sinner, but I believe that solid friend of my dear Saviour, and he will bring his people through. We read the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the joy, the peace, the love that shall be revealed in us at last. That you'll enter into the land. The Lord bring us all there through this world of tribulation, but of power, power to believe, power to trust, power to love, power to obey the gospel, power to walk on in the might and power of Jesus. Oh, my friends, doesn't Berid say, walk on in Jesus' might, one of his couplets somewhere? We have to walk on in Jesus' might, fighting the fight of faith. There's the power to fight. And my friends, to press on against all odds, against all that comes against us. Well, if you heard me say that, I'm sure before, but I have to often say it because we daren't turn back, you know. And Bunyan's pilgrim had no armour for his back, Christian, which as a lad I thought rather silly, but now I know the meaning. You're well armed in praying, Lord bless me, Lord help me, be with me, deliver me, with power. Now I must hasten on because of time and love. But of power, power of all the graces, the power of the presence of God, the life he gives you, the strength he gives you, the overcoming faith, the believing in the heart, power and love. The gospel is completely a gospel of love, isn't it? I know Job complained. I realise that poor man, he did walk through some deep, didn't he? But he had the true root. Now I know we sometimes are left to grumble ourselves, and we should, but I know what it's like. We have infirmities, sinful infirmities, no excuses for them, friends, but of love. All his dealings are in love. Now think of this love, what he himself endured. Did he really take upon himself our rotten sinnership, your vain thoughts, your evil thoughts, your misbehaviour as a child and a youth and at school and, well, our youthful days and young days and our wrong thoughts now? If we have a wrong thought, God has noticed, it's due for punishment. We have jealousies and envies and annoyances because of our pride or something. How close these things come to the soul. Did Jesus really suffer the just for the unjust? Friends, there's a secret here. His righteousness as God upheld him and sustained him. In other words, being deity, he was enabled in his humanity to really suffer, to bleed and pour out his soul unto death, to be made sin, to carry the sins of the people, sin he hated, sin he never did, sin that was repulsive to him, and yet to bear the punishment. He never did sin, but he had to have a stroke. Oh, my friends, the Lord laid his iniquities all upon him, you read in Isaiah 53. And in his own holy soul of his sacred humanity, he was forsaken of God. Forsaken. Trod the winepress alone. Yet he was not alone, my friends, in Gethsemane. An angel helped him. But the Father did hide his face. My friends, because he can't look upon sin, and there was Jesus being made sin for us. Our sins were imputed to, subscribed to him, made over to him, never in the workings of them, but in the condemnation, the just stroke. God must punish sin. And he drank the cup. His soul was troubled, but he drank the cup. Ah, my friends, and cried in victory, "It is finished." And yielded up the ghost, died for the ungodly. He went to paradise. And the dying thief, little later, went after him. The wonders of these things, friends. There are certain things we can't properly understand. We're not meant to. But we believe. Because we see such a glory and beauty in Emmanuel, in our Heavenly Father's love to us, because he loved us first. We love him because, yes, he first loved us. The scriptures are very plain, everlasting love. And therefore the church is complete. And may we therefore begin to know more of his love to his laws, his ways, his church, his people, and our neighbours. That's hard sometimes. Worldly neighbours. He didn't mean love in communion and close, as it were, social life with them, but to love our neighbours as ourselves. When we're driving a car, wishing other people well, neighbours who are poorly. And helping where we can in a practical way, if we're able to. My friends, you see, the church, where is exclusive in the being the body of Christ, where his witness is his love, his mercy. Who can tell with godly conversation? I know what it's like. We have to be careful what we say and people misunderstand. But in talking to neighbours, I do try and sometimes bring in the mercy of God, or we need the mercy of God in Christ. Usually sort of go a bit cold and then carry on the conversation in a worldly way, but we do sometimes, as it were, try and sow in tears in hope that our poor fellow man may not enter into that bottomless pit. These realities of the world to come, aren't they? Well, may we be his witnesses, God, to speak where we can and show in our lives and pathway that he is the Blessed One, the Saviour, love. Love our enemies. To pray for those that despitefully use us. To bless them and not curse them. And where we do have enemies and where they are being wrong, then we must pray indeed that the Lord would show them their wrong and bring them to repentance. Where we are wrong, we may confess our sins to him and, if necessary, to somebody else who's become an enemy of something we may have done wrong or something like that, you see. We have to confess all to God. Ah, these things are close, aren't they? Yes. Also have a sound mind. We have wisdom given to us. Understanding hearts, discretion, discernment, to speak a word in season, to say the right thing and the proper thing, the thing that glorifies God, of a sound mind. It means in our thoughts and exercises, of course, not by just what we say. We ponder our own ways. Look at our own heart, search our own hearts from time to time. We can't look there for grace, naturally there isn't any, but we see how are in the state of our soul before him who's done so much for us, and to live to his honour and to live to his glory. A sound mind, wisdom and understanding. This has a certain joy with it, doesn't it? Because indeed we're able to reverence God and serve him and do all that is to his glory, say all to his glory. A sound mind, friends, to be patient, to understand that our dear brethren in Christ have infirmities, not to be evil towards them when you see their infirmities. We've all got infirmities, you know mine. And not that I know many people here, but I mean, the more we have to do with some, we know each other's infirmities. We're weak. But oh, to remember, to walk in the love of the truth, a sound mind, to have understanding that for the glory of God, do all to the glory of God, and to be able to make right judgment in things. Not judging our neighbour in an ungodly way, in a self-righteous way, but to perceive what is wrong and what is right, what is the best thing for the peace of the church and for the glory of Christ. If things aren't for the glory of Christ, it's not for the peace of the church, is it? That goes together. What is done and deliberated for his glory will be for the peace of the church. And unite us, brethren. There's a brotherhood. Love the brotherhood, we read. The brotherhood of Christ, poor sinners, members of the mystical body of Christ, saved by grace. Mourners here below, sometimes they are. Pilgrims are strangers. They have infirmities. And they live in hope that they shall see Christ one day. And we are therefore to treat one another in much love and respect, remembering that it's God's sovereign grace that touched their hearts. That same sovereign grace that touched our heart. We had to discover we were of sinners chief, vile and dread from the sight of God, but we're given power to believe, power to repent, power to trust. And what power we need to continue. Well, he's not given the spirit of bondage and of harshness and critical of other people's religions. We can't agree with everybody, can we, Dan? Too much error and heresy around, but friends, to remember who's made us to differ. It's humbling. If you get to heaven, it's all grace. If I get to heaven, it's all grace. It really is, my friends. We come to a good God. Ah, he truly is a faithful God. The gospel bears my spirit up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in oaths and promises and blood. Yes, he shed his blood. And the gospel message is that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, may we follow Jesus in the love of Christ. And my friends, we need grace, don't we? Now, I must close this midday. But in the distressing situation in our country, we're seeing things I never ever thought of. I'm very concerned about the persecution of the Jews. Remember, I know they said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. It has been. Especially that last Holocaust. But friends, if you read Romans and understand the scripture right, there's a time when the fullness of the Gentiles shall come in. To the time the Gentiles be fulfilled, and the fullness of the Gentiles shall come in. Two quotes, one Daniel, one in Paul's epistles. Now, friends, no, one is Christ himself, actually. Yes, one's Daniel, one is in one of Christ's own words. So there's a time coming when the Jews shall be called. Therefore, may we love our enemies, and though they be enemies to Christ at the moment, we believe that the promise is to them also in the gospel in the latter days. Lord, bless all the nations of the earth. My friends, it does mean if the Jews are blessed, all the nations will be blessed. But we have to wait upon God in those things. Pardon that misdirection there. God can't get the right word, but I must close. wandering of the thoughts. But my dear friends, we have a good God to go to. He is love. May we honour him, love him, obey him. And whatever the hardness we have, we read, didn't we? In your heart is a good soul of Jesus Christ. We know hardness. You might know hardness from a husband or a wife. Hardness from a friend. Perhaps somebody treats you hard at chapel or something like that, you see. I hope not here, but it does happen, doesn't it? Hardness in the world. But especially for Christ's sake, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Do bless thy own word of grace. Please forgive anything spoken wrongly. And bless the truth as it is in thee, the dear Lord Jesus. And Lord, increase our faith and love. And may we be true, humble followers of thee. We plead thy all-prevailing name for every blessing in thee. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.